Well, good evening, everybody. 9th of August, 2024, and it is time for Friday Night Live. And we got a bunch of questions, we got a bunch of comments, we got a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of shaking going on. Any tips on declining a job offer and still being on the good side? I interviewed with several companies and got multiple job offers and picked the job with the highest bid. Well, so what you want to think of is, how have you been rejected that has made it okay for you, right? So how is it, you can be honest, right? So you can say, I really love the company. You guys were a little on the low side. I don't know, you know, if you have other kind of benefits, but other companies are providing more compensation. I just want to give you a heads up so that you can figure out whether you are competitive or not, right? I was sort of appreciated that when I was hiring people. And if somebody told me the reason why they didn't take the job, I mean, not that I ever viewed and interviewed anyone or they didn't take the job, but if people can tell me why they didn't take the job, that could be quite, I mean, that was quite helpful for me as a hiring manager. So, all right, actually, let me just move this over here, this screeny screen over here. And let's see here, live chat callers. So yeah, if anyone calls in, freedomain.com/live call, freedomain.com/live call. IT rant. No, that's all right. IT's been fine. I mean, my camera chewed up my video card, you know, like I have this, it's camera. It's a really, really nice camera. This is my favorite. I've owned, I don't know, like half a dozen cameras over the years. And this one wasn't even that expensive, but it is by far my favorite because it doesn't make me look ill or like I'm about to give birth to a giant spotted owl out of my forehead. Hopefully the giant spotted owl of wisdom. That's the title for the show. But this camera's really nice, but it overheats if the battery's in and it's powered in. It doesn't have enough to last for a 2.5 hour, 3 show. The battery's not long enough, so I got an external plug for it. But the problem is that when the external plug is kind of loose, I have to kind of jiggle it, and it fried my SD card. Like, it just wouldn't read it. So what can I tell you? Just the reality. All right. So let's get to your other questions. Then I've got a rant. Yeah, try not to burn bridges in the business world. I mean, in life as a whole, try not to burn bridges. All right. What are your thoughts on the great man theory? Right. So there's two general theories of history. One is an amalgamation of incredibly complex issues and movements and economics and some ideas. Right. So what is it that caused the Industrial Revolution? Well, it was the invention of this, and then the division of labor between countries called that. And there was this conflict, and then the invention of this weaponry, and it's all just like alignment of the planets stuff. And that is, wrong. History is willpower. History is willpower, nothing more, nothing less. You can see this playing around you every day. History is willpower. That's all. You just donated at freedomain.com/donate. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So yeah, history is willpower. That's all. Do you have the will to achieve your goals? Do you have the will to speak the truth? Do other people have the will to amplify your truth? Because there's not much point speaking the truth if people aren't willing to go amplify it. Coffee fueled the Industrial Revolution. That is not true. That is not true. The Industrial Revolution was caused by one thing and one thing only. The Industrial Revolution was caused by the end of slavery / serfdom. Once you had a free market in land, then you had increases in productivity from 10 to 15 to 20 times the amount of food. In other words, you need far fewer workers. And so you then have the capacity for an urban proletariat, and there was a free market in labor because they weren't slaves. When there's a free market in labor, you want to hire a bunch of people and eliminate their jobs. No, it's not true It's not true. There's tons of places that have coffees and stimulants that did not have an industrial revolution. So you ended slavery, you ended serfdom, you had a free market in land, agricultural productivity went through the roof, you got an urban proletariat, people are competing with them to drive up their wages, and then in order to reduce their costs, they invent labor-saving devices, and that's your industrial revolution right there. It's really not complicated. So it was the willpower of the people who wanted to end slavery, or to be technical, shift slavery from the direct ownership of the person to indirect ownership of the person through wage taxes or taxes. I mean, most of the taxes were not wage taxes until 1913 or 1917 in Canada. Don't worry, though. It's just a temporary measure, that income tax. And don't worry, it's only just a couple of percentage points on the very richest of people. And it's just temporary. And right. Yeah, all the places that coffee came from, did they have an industrial revolution? They did not. So it's just capitalism. That's all it is. Thank you, Joseph. It's just capitalism. Just the free market gave us the industrial revolution. And the free market was promoted by a bunch of thinkers and reasoners and arguers and debaters. And then what happened was, see, this is the way that it works, right? The way that it works is people come up with great ideas, great, powerful, true, virtuous, wonderful ideas. And then what happens is, I can tell you this from personal experience, they put them out into the ether. Off they go. Like when I was a kid and I had my first helium balloon and they said, little Steffi, do you want to keep that helium balloon or would you like to enter that little red helium balloon into a balloon race and maybe you could win £100? And I'm like, £100 sounds good. And I let go my little red balloon, 99 Luftballoon. And it went off into the sky, and as I let it go, I realized I was never going to see that £100, and what I was going to see was my very first beautiful helium balloon at the age of 3, floating off into a perfectly clear blue sky, which is memorable because it was England after all, and I realized, oh my gosh, greed got me nothing. It's a good lesson to learn. It cost me a balloon, but it saved me a lifetime. Got me a balloon, saved me a lifetime. So, great thinkers, thank you, Kairos, great thinkers put their ideas out in the ether, and the population either seizes upon them and amplifies them, or the population ignores them and things fall apart. That's all. That's all it is. I mean, people in power will generally amplify those. So why was it that slavery and serfdom ended? Because the people in power realized that when you end slavery and serfdom and you get that kind of agricultural productivity, you get to have an empire. Because now you need much fewer people to produce your food. So what you do is instead of having those people produce your food, you draft them and enlist them so that they can be your army and your Navy. This is, of course, a little bit prior to ye old First World War Air Force. That's what you do. So the end of slavery was amplified, of course, because the powers that be wanted the soldiers and the sailors. And this is why the agricultural revolution was followed by the Age of Empires. So unfortunately, UPB serves the peace to come, but not the powers that are. Which is why it's very hard to share it and why there's so much hostility towards something like UPB and peaceful parenting. That which benefits no powerful interests in the present tends to be ignored because it cannot be disproven. And the best way you disprove is to ignore and then to slander, right? So if you're not spreading UPB, you are spreading manure in the cribs of the future. If you're not spreading peaceful parenting, you're spreading manure on the future. Facts, what can I tell you? Facts, what can I tell you? History is powered by philosophy. No, history is powered by each individual decision that people made about whether they're serious about what they believe in or not. That's all. So the leftists who say, I'm going to disown and disavow people who don't take the vaccine, people who support Trump, people who are skeptical of mass migration, people who are skeptical of the values and virtues of diversity, people who say, screw you, I don't care if you're a blood relative, I believe this. And if you don't get in line, you're out of here, bozo. Well, those people win. And if you're not willing to put your relationships where your values are, your values will fade into the trash heap of history. And it's hard to argue that it should be any different, honestly. Why should it be different? Why should it be different? If you're not willing to put your values and have them like into the center of your relationships, then you're just, you're playing. You're playing around, right? All of the great movements in history have been driven by people who take their values and virtues extremely seriously. Extremely seriously. So no, it's not just philosophy. It's every person's individual decision to promote their virtues and values, or to have them as a kind of posture and a kind of, well, I feel this and I think that and I believe and I value. And it's like, yeah, and people are like, do you though? Do you though? Do you? If you believe the state is coercion, what's your relationship to people who advocate for the use of violence against you? Because people are scanning for whether you're full of shit or not all the time. They're scanning for whether you're full of shit or not. And I say this as someone who was, for a good chunk of his life, full of shit. Because I had all these virtues and values, I just didn't have them actually take effect in my personal life. Because I was just on the forever treadmill of, oh, I'm sure I can get them to change their minds at some point. Oh, that's going to be magnificent. Oh, that's so much better. Oh, yes. I'll just, one more article, one more piece of facts, one more data, one, oh, gosh, just one more. All right. Thank you for the tip. Cheesy, what do we got here? Hi, Steph. I had a question. And being self-critical. Well, I wish you were a little bit more self-critical about formulating your question, but you tipped, so all is forgiven. All right. Hi, Steph. I had a question. I assume you mean about being self-critical. Today, I noticed that I'm extremely self-critical of myself. It's a little redundant. When I take too long on a job, or if I screw something up small, and it makes me think that my boss would think I'm an idiot. I have the technical experience and am efficient at my job. How do I give myself enough grace to know I'll be slow or wrong every now and again? I'll reflect on these moments after the fact, and I think what could have gone better next time. I'm sorry, I'm not sure what's wrong with being self-critical. What's wrong with being extreme? I'm not sure what you mean by extremely self-critical. If by being extremely self-critical, are you saying that you have an extremely high expectation of the kind of quality you can produce? Is that what you're saying? Are you trying to seduce me? Do you want me to seduce you? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Do you have, look, I have very high standards for the quality of the show that I want to produce, right? I have very high standards. I don't want to be doing the same old. I want to be interesting, engaging, funny, have good analogies, tell you something I've not told you before. So I have very high standards for the kind of quality of the show that I want to produce. So what's wrong with being very self-critical? Because every show I do, I think of ways I could have done it better, and I try to implement them going forward. Is that self-critical? I mean, I suppose. But it's just a dedication to quality, isn't it? Isn't that reasonable? Just have a dedication to quality? So how, I'm not sure why it's a problem. Are you saying that you berate and scream abuse at yourself if you fat finger a digit or something like that? But that's not you being self-critical. That's like somebody who cuts themselves. I remember doing a call-in show. I don't even know if it ended up getting released, where a woman had been so verbally abused by her mother, she literally cut her mother's name into her thigh. Ah, cigars rolled on the thighs of Cuban women. I always found that strangely appealing, though I can't stand cigars. I've smoked one in my life, and I'm like, why don't I just give a blowjob to an exhaust pipe on a giant truck? So, what's wrong with being self-critical? If you are screaming abuse at yourself, you're not being self-critical. Like, people don't just wake up and cut themselves. They cut themselves because they have a habit of being aggressive against themselves to appease people who will attack them, right? Because if you attack yourself, often that will be, like, somebody wants to cause you harm. If you harm yourself, you'll appease them, and you'd rather harm yourself because you've got control over that process, right? So if you are attacking yourself, that's the wrong way to say it, because it's not accurate. Sorry to be so frank, but it's just not accurate. You're not attacking yourself, you're appeasing an abuser. You're appeasing a historical abuser. Now, of course, if you're an adult, that historical abuser shouldn't have any damn power over you anymore, so now this is just a bad habit. But you're not self-attacking. You know, it's like the bully says, you punch yourself or I'll punch you. And you say, okay, I'll punch myself because I can control that. I can fake it. I can whatever, right? And so then even after the bully's gone, you got a habit of punching yourself. Okay. Bro says, I'm dedicated to quality, but when I don't meet my own expectations, I feel incompetent. Well, incompetent is not a feeling. Incompetent is a judgment. So, if you don't meet your own expectations, you feel incompetent. Well, aren't you? What's wrong with being incompetent? I mean, what's wrong with being incompetent? I don't normally watch my own shows back. I was watching a little bit of one and I'm like, oh, that's good. I could use a little bit of this. This is a bit fast. I was a little unfocused here. And I'm just, you know, I could do it. I could do it better. This is why I keep doing shows, because I can do it better. I want to do it better. I want to be intense, but not insane. I want to be energetic, but not manic. I want to be focused, but not creepy. I want, like, all these, it's a 6 million different juggling acts, all got a balance on the pinpoint IQ spread of the Aristotelian mean. It's tough. Am I competent in every show? I can always do something better. What's wrong with being incompetent? That means you've got something to aim for. God forbid you did everything perfectly. You did everything perfectly, you'd have no reason to get out of bed in the morning. There'd be nothing to get better. I don't understand why it's so bad. Like, what's wrong with being, oh, I screwed that up. Oh, I faffed that up. Oh, I really made a mistake here. Oh, I really made a mistake there. It's like, and? And? I mean, all the front men are incompetent relative to Freddie Mercury. Does that mean they can't do anything? I mean, I'm happy to be schooled on this, and you're welcome to call in, of course, but what's wrong with being incompetent and having to improve? Isn't that kind of the fun thing in life? If I did every show perfectly, there'd be no more shows. I mean, was it Leonardo da Vinci only painted about 20 paintings and didn't even finish all of them because he was a famous procrastinator? Still one of the greatest artists in human history. Sorry, unless you're typing and I'm not seeing it, I really can't have this conversation with you because you're taking forever to respond. Again, unless there's something wrong with... let me just try a refresh here. Unless there's something wrong, which does sometimes happen. No. Okay, so I'm going to just have to drop it because you're not typing anything. So I don't know. So if you have a negative experience, the entire point of that negative experience isn't, oh my God, I can't have this negative experience. Embrace it. Embrace the suck. Sometimes I suck. Sometimes you suck. And that's fine. What's wrong with that? If you never suck, you're not trying hard enough. If you never fail, you're not risking anything. I'm pretty competent at walking these days. Pretty good. pretty good at walking these days. So I don't give myself any kudos for making it from one side of the room to the other. Right? A fear of incompetence is a fear of progress. I want to learn piano, but I feel incompetent. It's like, well, of course you're incompetent. You're just learning. My gosh. So what's wrong with that? So, but you can also be incompetent because you're underutilizing yourself. So in other words, if you're just doing something really boring and really repetitive and so on, then you may feel incompetent because you're just distracted and dissociated and bored and doing the same old, and you're just off in la-la land, right? What about the crappy people out there who fail and just blame everyone else because they can't admit incompetence? Well, those are people who are attempting to ward off self-attack or appeasing of attackers by blaming others. Sure, what about him? Steph, is it normal to feel just a pang of guilt for previous customers when you release a new and improved product? A pang of guilt for previous? Well, it depends. I mean, it is always the question when you have a new and upgraded, because I did a whole bunch of upgrades for the software that I wrote. I did 4 or 5 major upgrades. And in fact, in for one of the upgrades, I took my team and we rented an apartment in a really hip and happening part of town. And we would code all day, play some games, go out to discos, go have some Thai food. It was great, man. It was a great, great summer of coding and playing and partying. I mean, by partying, I just mean going to discos. I barely drink, but I do love to dance, man. So, if you are buying a new phone and there's, you know, you normally can figure out when a new phone is coming out. And if you buy a phone before the new phone, then you should get some kind of discount or some kind of trade-in or something like that, right? So I had a wonderful habit for quite a while of buying phones right before the upgrade. Not like a real big guilt, but just, damn, the new product is so much nicer and better, right? And from where did you get the money to make the new product? From where did you get the money to make the new product? Well, you got the money to make the new product from the people who were buying the old product. So there is no new product without people buying the old product. So I don't know why you'd feel guilty about something that is entirely necessary. The new product is nicer and better because you bought it with the excess profits from the old product. So if you lie to your customers and you say, no, there's not going to be a new product for a year or two, and you've got one coming out next month, well, then you're going to feel bad because you're lying to your customers. But if you're telling the truth to your customers, what's wrong with them choosing an older product? I assume there's an upgrade path that's not full price, so nothing wrong with that. So I don't know why you'd feel guilty. They can choose to get the old product, right? They can choose to buy something right before the upgrade. Before I went to do my documentary in Hong Kong, Hong Kong Fight for Freedom at freedomain.com/documentaries. Really good. Really good. But before I went, I needed an upgraded phone because I wanted, you know, better video quality and so on, right? And at the time that I went, I think I bought an iPhone. I'm still using it, actually. But at the time I went, I think it was an iPhone 12, which apparently is radioactive in France. But when I bought the iPhone 12, because I wanted selfie 60 frames a second, right? I wanted 60 frames a second selfie stuff, right? And you know, it had really nice video quality. Apple's pretty good with cameras. So I went and I bought it. And the guy's like, there's a new version coming out in 2 months. And I'm like, yes, but I'm leaving in 2 days to do a documentary. So I need it now. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no regret about it, no problem with it. It's totally fine. So I think you might just be making up problems where they don't really exist. In my humble opinion. Avignon. Sur le pont d'Avignon, on y danse. Yeah, sometimes it's perfectly okay to just buy what's available. Yeah, for sure. I remember from a company called Mighty Max way back in the day, I bought a notebook for $1,100, which is all the money in the world back then, because I needed it for my graduate school program, and I was also writing. And it was a 386 SX with 2 megs of RAM and a 30 meg hard drive. This was a powerhouse. It booted up in less than 4 minutes. Absolutely remarkable. I could turn on 32-bit access, and it did not burst into flames. Really, really something. Just amazing. It did 640 by 480 monochrome on its own screen, but you could do an external screen. It could run at 800 by 600, which was God-given visual pixel improvement. It could not run Doom. For that, you needed a 486. Osborne effect? Don't know it, sorry. Hit me with a P, if you don't mind, if I dip a tiny little bit into politics. Oh, the requests that I... Come back, Steph, we need you. You are the best politics analyzer in the known universe. Return to the fray. Return to the fray. Yeah, like, suppose you want a car that doesn't spy on you and give you a rectal exam when you hit a speed bump. The calls that I get, the siren calls, oh, Steph, you must return, and we'll give you foot rubs and nipple clamps made of mink fur, just the way you like them. PP, you want a little politics? Just a little. I can handle just a little, man. I don't have a problem. I'm not like an addict or anything. I can have just a little. I'm fine. I'm fine. Why do you keep looking at me that way? Don't make me go to PA. Not just Pennsylvania, also Politics Anonymous. Political rant. It's interesting. Congrats to your daughter on her promotion. Yes, she was promoted 3 weeks into her job. Because she understands everything there is about the business world. So yes, I will pass that along. Thank you very much. So do you want... I don't know. I'm looking at the donations, which are nice, and I'm not complaining, but I don't know. Let me go and check over on Rumble. Let me just go and have a look, because lots of people watching on Rumble, a lot more people watching on Rumble. You know that you can, thank you for your counsel last Friday. You're absolutely welcome. Oh, it's when the company Osborne announced that the next computer will be so much better, and then the customer stopped buying the current computer and the company went bankrupt. Yeah, for sure. As a young journeyman wireman, I've had to embrace the suck quite a bit. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Mad Cheesius. I appreciate that. Have you thought of streaming on Kick? The problem with Kick is that it's the name of a fantastic album by INXS. Every single one of us, the devil inside. I should think of that. I think we have looked into that, haven't we, James? I think we've looked into streaming on Kick. We just haven't quite got round to it for reasons that pass human understanding. I make a lot of sensible decisions, and later I'm like, I have no idea, thanks Lloyd, why I made that decision. But I'm sure it was sensible. What is it when I don't talk to someone for a while? I never remember why. My wife, she doesn't nurse grudges, but she doesn't forget them. We are streaming to Kick. Damn. Yes. Look at them go. Look at them kick. It makes you wonder how the other half lives. So, FDRURL.com/kick. FDRURL.com/kick. Wait, should I check for comments there? I don't think anyone's really watching us there, though. Yeah, not really. Damn, that's a lot of brown. It's a lot of brown. Thank you, Jabrone. Send a $6.90 tip. 6.9 tip. I am afraid I don't have the flexibility for what you're suggesting. Not that I'm saying it's wrong. So, yeah, I don't think anyone watches over on Kick. But... thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. All right. So I appreciate the tips. I think we can do a little politics.
I think so.
Oi, think we can. I think we can. The worst accents in the known universe. Some people are good at them. Namely, Meryl Streep. But I am not Meryl Streep. Or as they used to call her, Meryl Weep, because she seemed to just weep for a living. Ah, well. The excess of emotional manipulation known as acting skill is pretty trashy. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about a single lady. So, this is from a guy on X. Republicans have been winning married men by 20 points, married women by 14 points, and unmarried men by 7 points. So who is keeping the Democrat Party competitive? Answer, single women are single-handedly saving the Democrat Party, favoring it 68% to 31%. Now, there is a big debate, and I want to know where you guys come down on this. So some people say, and this is back to the J.D. Vance cat ladies, like single cat ladies are, you know, voting the Republic into socialism or whatever. I don't know what he said, something like that. And so all of the single cat ladies report with their cats and create rap songs and make it a whole meme and all of that. It's kind of inevitable. But so the question is, if single women are propping up the left, and it's not just in America and it's not just the Democrats, if single women are propping up the left, what should the strategy of conservatives be? If single women are propping up the left, what should the strategy of conservatives be? What do you think? Because obviously, well, no, I won't say this. I won't say this. All the single ladies, all the single ladies. Get them married. Get men to take one for the team and marry the cat ladies. All right. Cat Scratch Fever was a fun song. Jailbait was not. You creep. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you're a Free Domain Premium subscriber, you got to check out the Don't Lie to Me show. It was pretty ferocious. Woo the single ladies with virtue. Marry single women. A lot of the women are older, though, right? So if you want to have kids, it might be too late. What is it someone said? You ever notice that once we stopped objectifying women, they just got fat? A lot of them? I mean, it's a little harsh. Someone, Upper Matt says, just finished watching The Story of Your Enslavement after a decade or so. Still one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. Life-changing for me and my wife. Yes, it was. Yeah, I did a lot of those kinds of shows back in the day before copyright hell, but yeah, it was good. Thank you. I appreciate that. So there are two general strategies that are being proposed. One is scorn. The other is wooing them. I'm not saying it's an easy call. I can see both sides. I can see both sides. And of course, I wrote about this in my novel, The Present, which you absolutely, absolutely, absolutely should listen to or read. Listen to, I think, is even better. The Present at freedomain.com/books. It's free. Thank you for your donations. So, hit me with an S if you're drawn to scorn. Hit me with a W if you're drawn to wooing the single ladies who vote left. S for scorn, W for woo. Woo-woo. What do you think? What do we got here? Datecatladies.com. Republicans should make that site happen. That's right, you get 19 pussies for the price of one. I really got to get it in a censor. I really do. Does anybody know? I'm sure mine seems to be running on Linux. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that. Linux is pretty stable. All right. Wooing, wooing. Scorn. Scorn. Show younger women the horror of being single woman 50 and over. Well, but that's the scorn thing, right? That's the scorn, right? Scorn, win, woo, sorry, woo. I just followed you on Kick. Your follow account is now 6. Let's pump those numbers up, guys. Rookie numbers. Rookie numbers. Woo, it's more enjoyable to try and convince people. Scorn, scorn. Ah, it's tough, right? It's tough. So in general, in any negotiation, if you can't win someone over, then they become a competitor or an enemy. If you can win someone over, it's better to win that person over, right? If you can win someone over in a competition, if you can get them to join your team, they become an ally. If they won't join your team and they join the opposing team, they become an enemy, right? Is it even possible to woo the cat ladies? I think it must be beyond help. See, now you're on the scorn side. And I'm just saying. S, because they should stop blaming men for why their life sucks. How can you woo somebody who already has animosity towards you? Well, I guess you're not a Christian. Because, of course, in the Christian world, that's love your enemies, right? So, the way that it used to work in the business world was we would be in competition with another firm for business and we would try to partner with them, right? Now, if they were to partner with us, and so we would woo them, and if they were to partner with us, then that would be good. We'd be a team, right? But if they were to compete against us, then they go from ally to enemy, right? We understand this. I'm sure it's pretty clear, right? So the pluses and minuses, if you scorn the cat ladies, then you set up opponents, which is then going to drive them further into the arms of the left, right? So that would be a mistake, unless they can't be wooed to your side, because every effort you made to woo this particular group is an effort you're not making to woo another group. So if you waste your time wooing the single cat ladies who are only going to go further to the left, then you're not spending your time wooing those who've given up on politics, but you want to draw back into the fold, right? But Gen Z boss and a mini. Did you see that meme of the black? I think it was an engineer, the black guy, who was just exhausted with all of this chanting and singing. So there's cost benefits, right? So if you can woo them and you don't, then that's bad. And if you try to woo them and you can't, then that's bad, because then you've wasted efforts where you could have more productively spent them elsewhere. So, what do you do? And if you woo them politically, and it's just a thought exercise, right? I'm not in politics, and right, I just think it's an interesting thought exercise, and it applies to, of course, a lot more than this, right? So let me ask you this. If you were to woo them, what would you say? How would you woo them? Woo, woo. How would you woo them? How would you, I wouldn't say seduce. Sounds a bit creepy. But how would you woo them? Somebody, Chris says, now I'm thinking it depends on their age and state of life. Older, angry, short, dyed-haired, lefty cat ladies get scorned for sure. Well, that is interesting, right? So, I think that the argument that the single women, why are they going for the left? So I'm going to put, why are they going for the left? Now, if you can solve the problem as to why they're going to the left and provide them with a better alternative, then you can solve the problem, right? Does that make sense? Like, if you can figure out why they're going to the left and solve that problem in a better way, then you're doing well, right? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so the question is, if you can pierce through the defenses to get to the vulnerability on the other side, you can do some enormous good in the world. You can do, but it's a very volatile situation. It's a very, very volatile thing to be doing. Very volatile indeed. Right? So if you can get through people's defenses, so if somebody's really angry, but in fact they're just really sad, if you can break through the anger and get to the sadness, you defuse the situation. But the problem is that trying to get through the anger often provokes more anger, right? So why are they going leftward? So I'll give you my thoughts on this, and I'm obviously don't have any final answers. I'm just curious what you guys think as well. So if you are a bro, if you are a big swinging who's your vat of man meat, then you don't understand fundamentally, neither do I, how vulnerable women feel. How vulnerable women feel. The closest that I can give as an example is that, man, if you have to walk through a bad neighborhood with a clear backpack stuffed full of $100 bills, you'd feel pretty nervous and anxious the whole time. That's women moving through the world, in particular without a male. You look cool today. Total lie. I look cool every day. Sometimes just hide it better than others. So the reason why I think the single women are drawn to the left is they feel scared. They feel scared of failure. They feel scared of getting sick. They feel scared of getting fired. They feel scared of the world around them. A man without a woman lacks purpose and meaning. A woman without a man lacks stability and security. So what is it that the women are drawn to the left for? Stability and security. Stability because men, we sail through life blandly unconcerned with the health of relatives. Come on, guys, let's be honest. Let's shake them and show them. Come on. When was the last time you were very concerned about your great aunt's health? We are giant tanks of productive indifference sailing across the no woman's land of making shit work without worrying about people's spleens. We don't care. Oh, so-and-so got sick? Oh, wow, that's a drag. Anyway, right? We don't know. We don't care. Right? Phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, damn, that's the wrong number. Whereas the woman wakes up and says, okay, who died? Who died? Or someone calling me, right? There's a thump downstairs in the middle of the night. A man leaps up, bracing for combat. A woman shrinks back into the covers, bracing for rape. We don't care. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't mean to shock you. We don't care. We don't care. I mean, it's partly because, in general, people don't care about us getting sick. But, yeah. We don't care. We don't care. Oh, they've got dementia. Wow. Yeah, that's a drag. Anyway, so, like, sorry. It's just the way that it is. We don't process that stuff. We don't track it. We don't really, really care. Eh, they'll walk it off. Well, for men, what do we think? We think, well, one of two things is going to happen. Either great Aunt Ethel is going to get better or not. If she gets better, the problem is solved. If she doesn't get better, the problem is solved. Either way, well, you get the point, right? Do you even know the health status as a man? Do you even know the health status of the people in your life? Do you? Huh? You don't know. I don't know. But the women know. Oh, yes. The women. They doth know these things that men do not even know exist. Do you know, I hear this rumor that there are a lot of older people who need taken care of. Have you heard this? Have you heard about this? That there are older people, apparently, out there. I think they're in this dimension, could be another dimension, I'm not sure. But there are older people out there who genuinely, deeply, and apparently, truly need to be taken care of. You've heard this, right? You've heard this? As men, it's just a vague rumor. It's akin to lore in a video game from 1997. I mean, I guess it's a fact, but it doesn't really impinge much on our consciousness. Now, I'm not saying this is better or worse. I say this without any particular moral judgment. I'm just saying, right? Oh, somebody says, when a colleague at work calls in sick, I think they're weak. I mean, they're walking around, aren't they? Yes. You always think they're faking it? Yeah, I mean, when a colleague calls in sick, when I was in the business industry, I'm like, oh, I guess their wife had a day off and they're looking for some afternoon delight. Oh, dear. Right? So, as men, we don't scan and notice ailments. And the obvious reason why is that we aren't going to be taking care of them. I'm not saying this from a moral standpoint. I'm just saying factually. All right, raise a hand if you've nursed anyone for more than 3 days. If you're a guy, have you nursed? I mean, you know, your wife gets the flu and so on. You want to get her back on her feet because, you know, you're going to get hungry and all. So if you're a guy, have you nursed someone for more than 3 days? Like really taking care of them, got them their soup, and pregnancy doesn't really count. But have you? When I was near death a couple of years ago, I didn't get much sympathy from my male friends. I didn't expect much either. Yeah, like I literally had cancer, and my male friends were like, yeah, what's new? Sorry. And the only consolation is I'm kind of the same way. Yes, my mother, right? It just is the way that it is. We don't track this stuff. But if you go to women and you say, have you nursed anyone, this, that, and the other, right? I mean, I remember many years ago. So when I worked for a mining company to do this gold panning and prospecting stuff, and I remember being at a dinner downtown after we had some successful gold panning, they took us all out for dinner. And there was this woman who was like the heart and soul, the executive assistant of the heart and soul of the company. And literally she held court and she was like, and you know who else died? You know who else died? And she just knew everything. She was like the ticker tape of death. She was like the Grim Reaper's printout, like those old stock tickers in the old movies. You know who else died? And so-and-so has got really sick. And you know, so-and-so has breast cancer. Do you know they're looking at a mastectomy? And she just knew all of this stuff. Man, we just sail above this. It's like trying to find sewage from a B-52 at night. Where are those underground tunnels with the mattresses? Don't know. We're up above the clouds. very old women gossip so much. She wasn't even that old. But she was passing essential information to women. The men were all like, well, this is macabre. And the women were like, oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Really? And you know who else broke up? And you know who else's? Their marriages. Oh, and you know, I heard so-and-so had an affair. Now, you're saying, oh, this is gossip. And it's like, nope, it's not gossip. It's statistics. So you get a view into the obligations that are coming your way. This is why I say to people, to men, you date a woman dates your family. A woman looks at you and says, nice guy, got some abs. That's a satisfying pole vaulter bulge in his pants, but I'm not taking care of that woman when she gets old. His mother can go pound sand. James says, I was walking around my neighborhood the other day, saw an ambulance at one of the houses, ran into a neighbor several days later who asked me if I knew who died. I was like, somebody died? Well, there was an ambulance, but I don't know who. And she was trying to figure out who it was. Yes, who? 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 So men follow office politics to some degree, who's in, who's out, because that has to do with our income, which is what we focus on. And women focus on statistics and birth and death and gossips and illness and so on, right? Somebody says, my father currently is in care of my mother who has Alzheimer's disease. He's been caring for her since COVID, very challenging, but refuses to put her into a home. We all help as a family. For sure. Look, I mean, that's going to happen. But in general, we evolved. Why don't men take care of the sick? Why? Why don't men take care of the sick? Why? Especially when they get older, right? So you get into your 40s, your 50s, your parents get sick, your parents get old. Why don't men take care of the sick in general? Why have we not evolved to do that? Why have we evolved to not even particular care? A couple of reasons, of course. Number one, we can't get sick. Number two, we have to be out hunting and we have to be out farming and we have to be out doing all of this stuff because we have to provide food for everyone. So we can't be taking care of the sick because taking care of the sick is a luxury. Throughout most of human history, it's a luxury. And as a luxury, it has to be provided for by male ingenuity and hard work. Yeah, get on the ice floe, Dad. Yeah, absolutely. 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 You know, this is the Inuit, right? That if there's a person, somebody gets too old, you put them out on the ice floe, right? So women feel vulnerable. And women are scanning for illness and ailment and unhappiness, which they then feel moved to solve, right? This is the, you know, they're just coming here for a better life. You know all of this stuff, right? Men, I don't remember why I stopped talking to some people. I honestly don't. Pay me $1 million. I'm like, I don't know. I used to hang out with that guy. I used to be more friends with that. I don't know what. I genuinely don't remember what happened. I don't. But my wife remembers. In fact, she basically brings out the whole miniseries. I don't remember the person's last name, but she's like, oh, Bob, pseudonym, right? Oh, Bob. Well, let me tell you. Okay, if you don't remember, let me tell you. This happened, then this happened, then this happened, then we did this, then this happened. You tried this, then this happened. Then, boom, boom, boom. It's like she's reading a private investigator detailed report in her mind with footnotes and diagrams. I sneeze once and my wife pounces at me with her neck. Right. Right. And remember, so women are vulnerable, right? So women are scared of illness because also if the man gets ill, right? If I knew a woman once wrote a play, wrote a whole musical. It's actually quite a nice musical. And the musical started with a guy on a ship fell from the mast and died. And he had a wife with 6 children. And the children all had to be scattered throughout the country. You know, women have elephant memories. They absolutely need to remember this stuff because they need to know who's positive, who's negative, who's there, who's not, who's on their side, who's in. And these things can change. That's why it's important not to piss off men. Sorry, that's why it's important not to piss off women. If you piss off men, we get quite angry and then we forget about it. Right? We get quite angry and then we forget about it. Women don't get so angry, but never forget about it. Tell me I'm wrong. A woman's life can sour really fast if the husband falls ill or dies. For sure. For sure. I mean, this is why men were able to take more risks, and which fueled the Industrial Revolution in part because the industry called insurance came along because of calculus, a probability theory that came out of one philosopher, French philosopher, author of Pensées, Blaise Pascal. So women need security. Women need security. Women outlive men. Women need security. Women need a man to earn enough money that they can live off his savings after he dies and she lives for another 5 to 10 years. Right. There's a speech in Glass Menagerie. Which is pretty wild. Which is, what happens? Right? What happens? Laura Wingfield is talking to her mother, Amanda. The interplay could be described as a rather typical mother-daughter interchange. So this is the mother is frightened in this play, which is a great play. It's an absolutely great play to read. The mother is frightened because her daughter is pathologically shy and hitting 30. And so the mother is trying to get the daughter to at least get a job. She's sending her to secretary school to learn typing and shorthand and all this kind of stuff, right? How to run the phones and back when it was complicated, right? So, I won't give you all about the play. You should watch the Paul Newman directed a great one, a great version of this with his wife and Karen Allen from The Shining and a young John Malkovich and some guy who played the young gentleman caller, who was also really good, but I can't remember his name, Joanna Woodward. She was very good. You can find it. It's hard to find, but you can find it, and it's well worth watching. So Laura Wingfield is talking to her mother, and her mother is terrified that her daughter is not going to have a job and not get married. And the mother says, I know so well what becomes of unmarried women who aren't prepared to occupy a position. I've seen such pitiful cases in the South, barely tolerated spinsters living upon the grudging patronage of a sister's husband or a brother's wife, stuck away in some little mousetrap of a room, encouraged by one in-law to visit another little bird-like woman without any nest, eating the crust of humility all their life. Is that the future that we've mapped out for ourselves? The terror, what happens? What happens? And of course, this is a woman who chose wrong. The mother, she chose wrong. Right? Amanda says to her son, no girl can do worse than put herself at the mercy of a handsome appearance. Because she just married a guy for his looks, and he ended up being unstable, right? So, terrifying. Terrifying. Truth, James says, I'll have a bad time at a restaurant and will remember for about 3 months. And then it's like, why don't I eat there? Right, right. I have forgotten far more than I've remembered. I'm male. Well, no. You remember where the good game is and how to shoot a bow and all of that sort of stuff, right? How many times have you guys walked into a room to say to yourself, what am I doing here? Too many hamster wheels spinning. Yes. Yeah, you can do a lot worse than go to the hyper-gay Tennessee Williams to find out something about women. The man understood his mother. And his mother was both Amanda Wingfield in The Glass Menagerie and, of course, Blanche DuBois in A Streetcar Named Desire are caricatures of femininity, but contain some quite essential truths, particularly for neurotic females, right? So women are frightened of randomness because women react. Men are not as frightened of randomness because men tend to be proactive, whereas women tend to be reactive. Because if you're going out hunting, I mean, you don't know if you're going to get the right game or not, but on average, you will. So you can go and act, right? I'm hungry. I can act directly on the world. Go hunting. Go fishing, whatever, right? But a woman cannot act directly on the world. She has to act through relationships. Again, this is all evolutionary stuff. I say this without moral judgment. I'm just looking at the facts, right? A man can beat another man up. A woman has to get a man to beat another man up. Women control access to sex. Men control access to marriage. One of the great lessons of the great Kevin Samuels. Never read or seen them, not planning to either. Oh, these two plays? Your choice. Your choice. You don't have to take my recommendations. What do I know? I just came from a broken, violent home and have had 22 years of a successful, happy marriage. Women can't go out and get their own food. They have to get men to get their food. Not because women are lazy. Women are incredibly hardworking throughout most of human evolution, but because they've breastfeeding, they got to take care of kids, they got to keep a household running, they got to pickle the vegetables, they got to create the jam, they got a plan for the winter, they could work. Look at the mother, Bazarov's mother, incredibly described by Ivan Turgenev in the novel Fathers and Sons. I'm actually rereading that again for the first time in 30 plus years. So women act through relationships, which means women have to manipulate people in the same way and with the same skill that men manipulate material reality. Well, men are engineers and women are in HR and men are scientists and women are psychologists. It's like, yes, of course, playing to strengths. And the more choice women have, the more they go into traditionally female occupations. Men are the principals, women are the teachers, men are the doctors. Women are the nurses, blah, 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 blah. We all understand, right? Men act directly on reality. Women act through relationships. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a negative. So in the same way you remember how to manipulate reality, do many people have to teach you a lot about how to hammer a nail in? You ever see a woman trying to hammer a nail in? It's pretty painful, a lot. I was actually a woman who built this studio, so no disrespect for that. We're just talking averages, right? And that's why women and men have a difficult time understanding each other because we're not celebrating the differences. So women say, you know, there's this comedian, right? He talks about how his friend Bob is going through a divorce, right? And he goes to play golf with his friend Bob for a couple of hours, comes back home, and his wife's like, how's Bob doing? About what? About the divorce. Well, how would I know that? You just spent 4 hours with the guy. You don't know? Didn't come up. What do you mean it didn't come up? Didn't you ask? Didn't come up. I don't know. Is he dating anyone? How would I know? You just spent 4 hours with him. Well, it didn't come up. I do know he got a new driver, though. Ah! Right. It's incomprehensible. For a woman, it's because if a woman was with another woman who was going through a divorce for 4 hours and never asked her about the divorce, there would be a giant smoking crater where that relationship used to be. So men act directly. We get that strength and we get the weakness. And women act through relationships, which is why a woman tends to be inspiring or a nag. Somebody says, I heard a guy say, a woman wants a man who has a plan. Women don't like to make decisions. I agree with him. Well, this is the old, where do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to eat? And you, what's the bro who cracked the code? You just say, I know where you're going to eat, but you, I know I've decided where you're going to eat, but what's your guess? So-and-so. Ah, you're right. It's endearing how some women work so hard to make sure every family of the member, every member of the family is satisfied. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a beautiful part of women. I couldn't imagine two women silently fishing together for an hour. Well, if they hated each other, they might. Not going to pry into private matters. Right. What's the old, it's an old meme, right? It's a woman looking dissatisfied in the car. It's like, I do not understand how my husband can know about the world economy, the Federal Reserve, fiat currency, Bitcoin, inflation, and how a MacBook works, but never knows when I'm upset or why. So what is it that the single women are looking for? They're looking for stability and security from the state. Because women live with a level of anxiety that would fry the brains of most men. We're just not equipped for it. We are blithely indifferent. To a lot of men, stress is like a bunch of seagulls squawking when we're half a mile under the ocean in a Das Boot-style manly sub. That's right. It's long and hard and full of semen. Right. Here's something I noticed about the trades. A man can work on a machine. If another totally random man walks by, they can both start communicating without even knowing each other's names and begin problem solving. Yeah, you know the meme. Sorry, don't mean to over-meme everyone here, but, you know, we've got to control the memes in production, right? So it's two women. Should we invite Sally? Oh, we've only known her for 8 months. It's way too soon. As opposed to, hey, two guys are like, the third guy, hey, who's this guy? I don't know. I met him on the street, said he doesn't like communism. I thought I'd bring him along. So women live with a randomness and a sense of nervousness and stress about, because someone can just get sick. Someone can just get sick. And that's the next 10 years of their life. Because they got to drive the person to the hospital. They got to take care of them, pick them up when they're sick. They got to see how they're doing. There could be phone calls in the middle of the night. They need to arrange for care. They need to go out and figure out how adult diapers work. And then, like, it honestly, we men, la 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 la, tiptoeing through the tulips, going through the daisies, dum-de-dum-de-dum, and women all falling by and diving over to succor the sick and take care of the wounded. And we're just like, dum-de-dum-de-dum. We don't know what it is like to have the smaller amount of self-direction and control that women have to evolve to live with on a daily basis. So true. I'm like, hey, you seem cool here. Join my friend group. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Easy come, easy go, right? So what are these women looking for? They're looking for stability and security. Ivan Drago mean, if he dies, he dies.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, because I grew up in a gynocentric world, right? Single. The matriarchal manners, right? Single mother, rent-controlled, craptastic, thin-walled, fridges from the Stone Age, cranky, rusty taps, and cockroaches crawling through the oven clocks kind of place. So everything was kind of high strung and hysterical. Are you okay? It's what the, are you okay? Are you okay? Like if I stumble, my wife's like, are you okay? Right. Whereas, you know, we had this Scottish gym teacher. You know, I remember taking a elbow to the face during wrestling and my mouth was full of blood. And he's like, ah, you're fine. You're fine. I was told to walk it off, although it wasn't exactly a leg injury. But, you know, he's kind of prying in there. It's like, I don't know which hamster's or heifer's ass these hands have been up, but they smell that way. And he's got like tobacco fumes that could kill a Cossack army. And it's like, yeah, fine. Well, thank you for the detailed, thorough examination. I guess your hands didn't come out the back of my neck, so I'm fine. Are you okay? And it's lovely. I don't fault either side. All work to get us to the top of the food chain, no problem with it. But we don't know what it's like because if someone gets sick, when someone gets sick, right? You marry into a family, you've got, I mean, historically, grandparents, maybe great-grandparents, parents, and they all just kind of fade into each other and they all need a crap ton of resources and help when they get old. I mean, as a man, do you worry about this? I mean, I'm not saying you don't, right? But let's say, if you're a married man, if you're a single man, that's one thing, right? But if you're a married man, and there's an elderly, ailing relative on the street, do you worry that you're going to have to quit your job to take care of it? You got a stay-at-home wife. Do you worry you are going to have to quit your job to take care of an elderly, aging relative? You don't worry about that. We are blithely indifferent to the concerns and cares that women get ambushed with on a regular basis. Because women take care of the ailing. I mean, for men, it's a lot of times, well, I see you fell and really hurt your leg. Let's hope you'll make it back. We'll put an extra light out for you. Like, I remember when I was working up north, we had to five tons this story before, I'll keep it brief. But we had to fly out the next morning, and I didn't want to get up crushingly early because we had another two samples to get with the Apianjo drill. You had to drill down to the bedrock and get the soil samples to figure out how much gold is in there. And my friend and I, we went to the ass end of nowhere. We thought we could make it, but it was a cloudy, moonless night, pitch black, could not see your hand in front of your face. We had to go really slow. Carry the drill bits, the soil samples, could not see a thing. You know, I had to hold your hand in front of your face to make sure that you didn't get your eyeballs scratched by the tree branches. Now, did people come out to look for us? No, because we're men. And there were two other men back at base camp. Now, what they did do was they hung a light out front. Excellent. It's only minus 40. So, you know, they did that. That's nice. Women were like, are they okay? We got to go look for them. What's the matter? Do you have a flare? Do they have a radio? Can we go out and holler? Am I like, just hang a light out. They'll be fine. Coach, after you get tackled and knocked unconscious, walk it off, pencil neck. Yeah, I guess you could use a helmet, whatever. Some pencil neck lore. Yeah. As men, generally people don't particularly care about us, but the downside is that the women have to care for the elderly. And it's tough. It's tough for them. So women are hardwired to be concerned about this kind of stuff. I mean, every man has these stories, right? Where you walk it off and your sister gets a cast and everyone signs it and she gets flowers and So women are going to have to take care of things. And women are wired for that. And if women don't have their own families to take care of, they'll take care of cats, strangers, immigrants, whatever, right? Which is why when men are in charge, they tend to control physical violence. When women are in charge, they tend to control language. Because men fight with swords and women fight with words, which is why England is England right now. LOL, no one signed my cast. Yeah, I remember I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old, and I went to school. This is boarding school was 6 to 8. I guess I was 9 years old. And I went to school, and nobody knew it was my birthday. And I was very much keen for people to figure out that it was my birthday. And I kept dropping hints. Nobody cared. Meanwhile, there was some girl at the other end of the playground. People, oh, it's your birthday. Oh. It's all right. I'll just be here hoeing the back 40 and fighting off the Huns. Don't mind me. I'll be fine. Leather helmets are fine. Don't want to be seen as a pansy after all. No, you need the helmets because you need to preserve the dental record so you can be identified when they scrape you off the soccer posts. All right. So what are these women looking for? Why are they voting left? Because they need security because they're terrified. So what I would say to these women is, look, I really, really understand, man. It can be a nerve-wracking thing to be a woman, right? I understand that. It is easy to feel vulnerable. It's easy to feel scared. I completely understand. I mean, I grew up with a very vulnerable mother who spent a lot of time both in pursuit of security, which ended up actually endangering her to some degree because she was so desperate for security that she was willing to compromise on vetting, right? On vetting things, right? So you're worried about what happens when you get older. You're worried about what happens if you get ill. You're worried about what happens when your relatives get ill, and you need a support system. You need a support structure. And in the past, this used to be a wonderful group or crew of other women, right? It was a wonderful group and crew of other women, and you could share your burdens, you could share your laughters, you could share your sorrows. If you look at the big movies that appeal to women, it is very much around a sisterhood of celebration and suffering, right? That the men don't really understand, but the sort of fried green tomatoes thing and the Sally Field one, whose name I can never remember, but Olympia Dukakis, Sally Field, Country and Western Girl, Dolly Parton. So you want the sisterhood of celebration and suffering. It makes perfect sense. You need to spread the risk and you need to spread the celebrations because you will be called upon to take care of the elderly. You are generally called upon to take care of the sick. We can get mad at it. We can say it's unfair. I understand that, but it is kind of how we evolved. And for whatever reason, you're way better at it. And I know that's not fair. I know that's absolutely not fair, but it is kind of the way things work. Steel Magnolias, thank you. So, Steel Magnolias, of course, has the daughter who is, it's the nightmare of the mother, right? So the daughter is ill and won't listen and won't take care of herself. That's the nightmare. That's the nightmare. Women have to absorb and process an enormous amount of sorrow relative to men. Men have inflicted upon us loss of status, humiliation, and violence, historically, and failure, and the feeling of being useless when we're old. But women have regular waves of suffering, right? There's a beautiful sequence in Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin about the little drawer that every woman has. The little drawer. I'm going to see if I can find it. It is a beautiful. Every woman has the little drawer. No, I won't be able to find it. But basically, it is the little drawer that every woman has for the child or children who died. That every woman has that little drawer full of the baby clothes that never got put on, full of the named ideas that were never applied, full of the booties that were pulled off the dead child, the little drawer of keepsakes and namesakes that she goes to from time to time in great sorrow and memory of the child who didn't make it. And that is, and I remember a guy I worked with up north. It was just terrible, terrible situation. A guy I worked with up north, he was going to get married and he wanted to lose weight for his wedding and he was out jogging and he got hit by a car and killed instantly. And I went to, of course, I went to his funeral and I went to the reception afterwards and his father was just sitting and talking and you couldn't tell. It was eerie, really. It was eerie. Of course, the women would be wailing and rending their garments, so to speak, right? But it's rough. And in particular, a woman, Kevin Samuels used to, the late, great Kevin Samuels used to talk about this with women, and he would say, how are you going to provide for your old age without a man? Are you going to have the $1.4 or $2.4 million that you need to live from 65 to 85? You're going to have that? Without a man. What if you get sick? Now, of course, for men, when we get sick, we will power through it, and either we get better or we don't. Especially single men. It's different if you're married, right? I understand, but then you have your life insurance, right? So at least your family's going to be taken care of, right? So they're looking for stability and security because they live a life of unpredictable loss. At any time, I'm telling you this, as men, we don't understand this. At any time, boom, some relative could get ill. Some relative could get ill. Somebody could get injured. Somebody could need years of care and rehab. You know, some kid could get meningitis and eat half of their brain and then they have to be kept alive for decades. And somebody could break a leg that doesn't set properly and be in constant pain. Someone could get some sort of reaction to medicine. Somebody could get an allergy. Somebody's throat could close up. You know, women are like right on the widowmaker's ventricle of mortality. They are right on the edge. We're just sailing along and they're like, they dance on the edge of the cliff. They dance on the edge of the cliff of mortality, women. They can't stop seeing it. Injuries, problems, danger, fear, loss, tragedy. And they're taking a gamble. And the gamble the single women are taking is fundamentally economic. So the single women, so do you know that attractiveness in women predicts being conservative? And happiness in both men and women predicts being conservative, which, you know, small government free market stuff, right? So the women who are less physically attractive tend to go to the government because the government will give them more resources than the kind of man they could get, right? So you know the old thing that, you know, your mama's rich and your daddy's good looking, right? So the richer you are as a man, the more attractive a woman you can generally get. And so the attractive women tend to be more conservative because they can get the kind of men who can provide them more resources than the state can. Or, you know, maybe they're smart enough to see that it can't last and all that kind of stuff, right? So the less attractive women, and they can have wonderful spirits and all of that, but the less attractive women tend to gamble with the government because the government can give them more resources than the kind of man they can get by being less attractive. And the less attractive could be, it could just be bad luck, could be genetics, could be overweight, could be any number of things, right? So in the past, a woman had to stay healthy and athletic because otherwise the man might cheat. The woman had to stay healthy and athletic and slender because then she couldn't, otherwise she couldn't get a man, or the kind of man she could get would be much lower quality in terms of income. But now, women don't have to stay attractive to get resources from men because they use the power of the state, though they don't see it this way. I understand that. They don't see it this way, but that's what it breaks down to. They use the power of the state to extract resources from men without having to provide fertility, attractiveness, and child raising in return. So the conversation to have for women is, I completely understand where you're coming from. A woman's life has a level of anxiety. I mean, they say, oh, women score higher in neurosis and anxiety than men. It's called hysterical, right, from hysteria, the womb, for a reason. And it's like, but it's not because there's anything wrong with women. It's because women live in a state of having to take care of the inevitable vicissitudes of life. And of course, remember, women evolved without modern medicine and taken care of and antibiotics and all of this extra care and treatment and so on. Women didn't grow up with any of that. They didn't evolve with any of that. So the amount of nursing and helplessness and reactive and disaster and catastrophe and long lingering resource drains that women had to deal with over the course of their life was often in the dozens. The dozens. This is why women need each other, and this is why the sisterhood is very important. And you can take this to an extreme. Have every woman read your novel, The Present, problem solved. Yeah, you can take this to an extreme, where the sisterhood is all that matters. But the sisterhood is what's needed in the face of what they view as men's callous indifference to the suffering around them. And we men are, I'll be honest with you, and again, maybe you're different, and I think this is obviously it's a generality, but we men are profoundly indifferent to the suffering around us. We just are, and there's nothing wrong with that. We can't be that attuned to suffering, because men survive by inflicting suffering, and families survive by inflicting suffering. It's not like the deer wants to get shot in the ass with an arrow. It's not like the enemy you club over the head wants to get clubbed over the head. So we can't be that empathetic, because if we're too empathetic, we can't compete with other men. Like if we get the best-looking girl, then all the other men are upset and angry and frustrated and annoyed and hate us. It's like, well, we have to be indifferent to that in order to get our just desserts if we're a high-quality man or a high-in-demand man or whatever, right? So because men are competitive and women tend to be more cooperative, at least after men are competitive before marriage and then competitive to provide the most for the family, whereas women are competitive before marriage and then have to be cooperative afterwards. They're competitive for the men before marriage and they have to cooperate to minimize and share the risks and problems after marriage. So women have been seduced into getting resources from the state, which is a little bit greedy, right? A little bit greedy. If somebody said to some woman, you can date, I don't know, Hugh Jackman or apparently Pete Davidson is a big chick magnet these days for reasons that, I don't know, I can't quite, I mean, wouldn't you prefer a cucumber in Ass Blaster hot sauce? Well, apparently not. Apparently it's Pete Davidson. So whoever, right? Basketball players, right? So if a woman was offered a multimillionaire basketball player as her husband or welfare, she would choose the basketball player, right? We understand that, right? And so women who don't feel that they can get many resources or as much resource from a man, they get a little bit lazy and they want resources from the state. Now, the problem is, of course, that the state doesn't care for them and the state is simply buying their vote and the state won't be there if they get ill or sick in the way that a husband will be there, a husband who loves them, a husband who really cares for them. Now you say, oh, Steph, you were just telling people that men don't care. It's like, but you care about your wife, right? That's a different matter. So, right? So it is an argument from self-interest to say to women, look, when you get old, the money won't be there, right? I mean, what are we, we'll certainly, in America, I think is 5 to 10 years, at least according to official estimates. I assume that it's much worse than that. 5 to 10 years running out of Social Security. The healthcare system is generally getting worse. Old age homes are not good. Pretty much you turn on X and there's some old person getting beaten up in an old age home. And again, I know that's not typical, but it's certainly happening. Wasn't there a woman you were dating who wanted David Beckham or something? Well, she just, you know, David Beckham was her ideal, right? I'm like, and almost nothing worse, right? You know, these alpha widows, right? Almost nothing worse can happen to a woman than she gets the alpha male of her dreams. And then he goes, sir, and then she is now completely attuned to that and everyone else looks ugly, right? Steph, you've been so funny lately. I've LOL'd many times catching up on you. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So it is a strategy I understand. And men, come on. I mean, really, men who are porn addicts, are you really going to complain that women are taking cheap and easy substitutes for relationships? Really? Come on. Men like to, you know, you're taking video games instead of achievement and porn instead of an actual relationship. So, well, I don't know that there's a huge amount of superior legs to stand on, so to speak. The issue is they want the security of stolen goods versus the potential goods of a potential marital relationship. Well, no. So in order to I think, appeal or understand these women is to say that you are probably going to be a lot better off in the long run being married than relying on the warmongering indebted state. Your real risk now is the state. Your real risk now is relying on the currency. Right? If you rely on the currency, it won't work. Think of all the women who relied on the state to provide their resources during the fall of Rome. Or the fall of the ancient Greek empires. It's not going to work. What you think of as security is not security. The only chance you really have for security, or the greatest chance you have for security, is a man who loves you. And you want love, and women live for love. Men live for love, but women live even more so for love, I think. Because men have model railroads or whatever nonsense substitutes for love for men. Girl Dad, I have trouble showing enough empathy to my wife when she's sick. It feels unnatural to me. I'm not sure what to say, and what I do say feels fake. Oh, yeah. No, and women who judge men by female standards are looking for someone who's not a man. So who's better at taking care of sick people, men or women? We all know this, right? Which is why the male doctors diagnose and treat, and the women nurses tend to comfort and aid, right? Chris says, I do see the suffering of single career women I work with as a tragedy. They don't seem to understand where the road they're taking leads. Well, and we need to help people, right? We need to help people. I mean, if you've ever known a porn addict who hits his 40s and is single, I mean, it's brutal, right? It's brutal. So we need to help. We need to help each other, and we need to help the women, right? I mean, we all know what's happening to the rape rates, right? And there's just grave danger, and it's not going to be safe to rely on all of this. Unfortunately, it requires a mathematical calculation, and most women look towards social gratification. No, I don't think. Look, women are smart, and women are incredibly great at resource prediction. They're incredibly great at resource prediction. So right now, in an amoral sense, and I understand that, but they are doing a calculation to maximize resource consumption through the state. And once you say to people, look, that is a deal that could have worked, it did work in the 60s, 70s, 80s, the noughties, but it's fading out over the next 10 years. And if you're under 65 and you're waiting for a full-fledged pension, you are waiting in vain, like the old song, right? Waiting, train in vain. That train ain't a coming all night long. So you're going to need to try and find some man to, so you can protect each other, so you can take care of each other. And I think that's the conversation that needs to happen. I think that's the conversation that needs to happen. But just, they're just, you know, leftists and socialism, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, most people, men too, are amoral resource acquirers. I mean, this is what we evolved to do, to gather resources in an amoral fashion. So the reason why we're at the top of the food chain is because we kicked everyone out who was not an amoral resource acquirer, right? So we are amoral resource acquirers. That's people as a whole. You can get mad at it, but that's getting mad at all the evolution that produced the brain to get mad at it. You are spot on, Steph. Seen women in my life change their tune on Donald Trump after seeing what's going on with increased violence. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever the government offers you will end up being manifested as the opposite, right? Because violence achieves the opposite of its stated goal every time. So I think, I'm not really talking politics, I'm sort of talking male-female stuff, but I think that's the important conversation to have. And those of us who've had mothers, or have mothers, who took the run to the government route, oof, man, it's rough, man. I mean, I tried. It's a quarter century later, there's an ache in my heart. You know, Krakatoa, high, wide, and deep. There's an ache in my heart because I tried for so many years to genuinely, deeply, and compassionately help my mother. But she could just get her money from the government. She didn't need to listen to me. I tried giving her money. I tried helping her out financially. She just did really bad things with the money, and I just couldn't countenance it. And it's really sad because, you know, the government will pay her bills but will not care about her. And it just did not work out. It will not work out. It will not work out. And just having people understand that. And it's tough. It's tough for women, particularly sort of post-fertility, right? Sort of post 40 and so on. It's tough because they're going to have to make some compromises, but you got a lot of lonely guys and you got a lot of lonely women. And the only way that they're going to do well at all is to combine in the way that nature and or God or whatever intended, right? We have to join forces as men and women because an absolute shitstorm is coming. And those left isolated will not do well at all. And if you have to make some compromises, right? The men who've been, raised on a steady stream of great-looking women are going to have to deal with actual women and actually how they look like. And women who fantasized about Pete Davidson while reading 50 Shades of Grey are going to have to deal with actual men who don't have helicopters, don't play piano, and don't make $1 billion a minute. We need each other, and hoping for the government and hoping that that's all going to work out is not an absolutely not an even remotely productive strategy. It is not going to work out. The only redemption arc for these women is to become maids like Catherine from Almost. Yeah. So Catherine, Ersatz's mother to Tom in my novel Almost, a wonderful woman, actually based her on one of the women who helped raise me, or in fact, who raised me in many ways, right? So I went deep into my primal memory of the woman who was raising me and came up with this character who I absolutely adored in my novel, The Present. So please, guys, go out and find women. Will they look like Scarlett Johansson? No, but you don't look like Brad Pitt. And it doesn't, like, all the looks are going to fade anyway. I mean, did you see the latest picture of Katy Perry? I mean, Katy Perry was a stunningly beautiful woman. Great figure. She's aging out. Of course, it's nothing we all do, right? Well, you know, every now and then I'll flash the picture of me at 20, right? So go out and find a woman. I'm not telling you to, you know, marry a woman to turn her into a conservative. What I am doing, though, is I'm saying that you're going to need a woman and women are going to need men. And all of this artificial, splendid isolation crap that's entirely fueled by debt, theft, and inflation is coming to an end. You know, winter is coming, man. And you're going to need somebody else's body heat to stay warm. All right. Well, if you enjoyed the show, I really, really appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I really would appreciate that as well. But you, like you've said, young men have to fight against delaying. Men age like wine as a meme. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've been talking to a lot of men lately in the private call-in shows who are older, and it's a challenge, right? So, all right. So thanks, everyone. freedomain.com/donate. You can give me a wee little bit of a tippy tip here as well as on the app, on the website, freedomain.com/donate. If you're listening later, I'm planning a documentary for next year. I'm back. And we will have a dinner in Florida this year. We will have a dinner in Florida this year. And I am planning to get back out on the road to do a documentary next year. I didn't get one this year, but I really, really do appreciate that. But yeah, once you understand that this is not a good strategy, you did donate on Wednesday. Thank you from Norway with love. I appreciate that. Love to visit Norway. What a beautiful country. I know it's not only fjords, but there's fjords. And Norway is the forests. I could, like, honestly live in those forests like a tree elf or a dryad with man sex. So, what is the documentary topic? I'll tell you. I won't tell you now, but I will tell you. I don't mean to be coy, but I'm going to be coy. So, thank you, everyone, for a wonderful evening. I really, really appreciate your time, energy, thoughts, attention, and support. Love you guys so much. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and scope to do what I'm doing, where we are laying down some very powerful stuff for all time forward. So have yourself an absolutely beautiful, beautiful evening. We will talk to you Sunday. Lots of love from up here. I'll talk to you soon.